The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter. Jesus said, I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, five in one household will be divided. Three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. He also said to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say it is going to rain, and so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say there will be a scorching heat, and it happens. You hypocrites. You know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
When I was in seminary one time, I was on my way back from class, and I noticed one of my classmates sitting on the brick wall in the courtyard crying. And when you're in seminary and you see someone crying, you think to yourself, now here's an opportunity to practice pastoral care. And so that's what I did. I walked over to my friend, who I will call Donna, to see what was wrong. And in my best pastoral care voice, I said, Donna, what's wrong? And she said, Danny and I had a fight. Well, Donna and Danny had been married for all of a month at that point in time, and apparently it was their very first fight. And so I said, well, what happened? She said, well, I really don't want to tell you because I don't want you to think less of Danny. Well, good gracious, then what could it be? You know, was he having an affair? You know, did he say something horrible to her? Did he hit her? I mean, I didn't wake up today looking for a fight, but if that's what it takes, you know, let's go. And I said, no, you know, I won't think any less of Danny. What happened? She said, well, you know the border that we're painting around our living room? You know, the one I showed you the picture yesterday with the nice greenery and the yellow flowers and the berries? I said, yeah, that's going to look really good. She said, well, that's the problem. She said, you know, I sent him to work today. Danny worked at a paint store, and he was supposed to come home with the paint. And I said, oh, yeah, he forgot. Well, that happens, you know. No. And see, this is where I learned that you actually have to let the other person talk, because that wasn't the problem. She said, well, I got out the paint, and I painted the greenery, and it looked really good. And then I painted the yellow flowers, and I couldn't believe how much the colors in the room just started popping. But then I started painting the berries. And do you know what that man did? No, did he insult your painting? What happened? She said, he brought me Valentine red. Now, you saw the picture. You know it was supposed to be candy apple red. And he showed up with Valentine red. Okay, well, then I told him, because, you know, I love the man. I want to give him the benefit of the doubt. And so, I thought maybe he just picked up the wrong can. And he said, no, the picture I showed him had candy apple red, not Valentine red. But surely, I mean, you've seen the picture, Stephen. You know that it is Valentine red and not some candy apple red. I mean, come on. Uh-huh. How many of you married people have had a fight like this? I mean, I've been married for 23 years, and I would have to say that 99% of all marital arguments are dumb, are the dumbest things in the world. And they're literally over the color of paint, you know? And while this story may have been, inflated for artistic license, this was a true story. Because People argue over the dumbest things in this world. Most of the time it's because people are, you know, they wake up on the wrong side of the bed or you know, it's a differing of opinions. And it's all about I'm right and you're wrong and our total lack of being able to be wrong. Case in point. Remember this? Remember this dress? What color is this dress? This is the dress that broke the internet because people were looking at it. So is it blue and black? Who says it's blue and black? Who says it's gold and white? Just one, really? The truth is most people see it as gold and white. Maybe the picture is different. But people were almost getting in fist fights over the color of this dress. Do you remember that? I mean, you know, what do you mean it's blue and black? It's gold and white, plain as day. It's a picture of the dress. And yet we were going to all-out war over the silliest things. I mean, do you realize that people get in fist fights every year? Some people are even killed because of sporting events. I mean, I love sports as much as the next person, but come on. I mean, you know, if the Tar Heels, you know, lose to Duke one day, which is pretty rare, but if it ever happens, I'm going to be okay the next day. Now, not that day, but the next day, I'm going to be just fine. And yet, we find ourselves so divided. But let's be honest. There's some things that are a lot more serious than this. Today in our world, it seems as if politics has so divided every one of us. Remember when we used to be on opposite ends of the spectrum on this and still get along? Well, those days have come and gone, haven't they? I mean, we can't even talk to somebody that has a differing opinion about our president, about our Congress, about decisions that are made without somebody getting very, very, very angry. So, what's the problem? Why are we so at odds with each other? And do you know that people even argue about their faith? About faith. I mean, of one thing that it seems the people should be able to agree about, you'd think that Christians could get along with each other, right? But do you know why there are so many churches out there? Because where two or three are gathered in his name, there's four or five opinions among them. And eventually, churches will break off from one another because people can't stand being in the same room together anymore. What has happened? Well, Jesus sort of alludes to this, doesn't he? In our gospel reading, he said quite plainly, as soon as I find it, eventually, I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I'm under until it is completed. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, five in one household will be divided, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. Well, that last part doesn't seem too surprising. But anyway. But what is surprising is to hear Jesus say this, right? I mean, doesn't Jesus bring peace? I thought we had a God of peace. Not one of war, not one of division, not one of strife. So what in the world is Jesus talking about here? I mean, why does Jesus say, I don't come to bring peace, but rather division? And then he's talking about splitting households. What in the world is that all about? Does Jesus really mean for us to be at odds with each other? Is God happy with us when we're arguing over things? I mean, this isn't the Jesus that we're used to hearing, is it? Well, it's not what we're used to hearing in Scripture. But it is the truth. Because the reality is this, my friends. If we take the gospel of Jesus Christ seriously, then it's offensive. The amount of grace, love, and mercy that is poured out by our Heavenly Father is offensive. It's offensive to us when we see other people that we don't think are deserving. It's offensive to them when they see us trying to withhold our love from them. The love of God, it's offensive. Because what we hear in this is that we want the rules to be this way. We want it all to be cut and dry. We want everything to be black and white, especially when it comes to faith, right? We want everything that we've always known to stay the same. But it doesn't. When Jesus Christ enters into the equation, it changes everything. And some people, maybe even us, aren't always ready for that change. It becomes difficult. And we find ourselves at odds with people that we love most in life. I mean, if you think about it, look at the divisions that faith have caused. People have been martyred because of faith. And I'm not talking about by unbelievers, I'm talking about believers. Martin Luther would have been killed had he not been hidden. All that war broke off, part and parcel to the Reformation that Martin Luther brought. Churches have divided. Denominations have been split over decisions that were made by some committee somewhere or by the color of the carpet. And so how do we, as faithful people, respond to this? How do we know what side we're supposed to be on? Because let's be honest, for us, we are always right. Is there anyone in this room that's not always right? A few people might admit it, but let's be honest. I mean, you do realize that the reason that we argue with each other is because we're right. You know? Because if you didn't think you were right, why would you be arguing unless you're just mean? I will admit, though, sometimes I will argue even though I know I'm wrong because, well, it's fun to argue. But that's just the tough part about it. And when it comes to politics, where we differ a lot of times is not about our politics at all. It's about our faith and how that collides with what we believe in the rest of the world. So let's talk about how we're supposed to deal faithfully with this. Well, first of all, you've heard me say this before, and I will say it again. If you believe that your political party is always right, you are following your party and you are not following Jesus. And I will say it again. If you believe your political party is always right, you are following your party and you are not following Jesus. And that means, brothers and sisters, that we need to find out what Jesus says so that we ought to know what we should believe. That's step one. We need to know what Scripture says. We need to know what Jesus wants from our lives, from our church, for the life of the world. What is the message of Scripture? Now, that doesn't mean that we look at the little messages of Scripture. You know, those little one verse here, one verse there that we put so much weight on. The message of Scripture is this. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves them. Jesus loves us all. Therefore, we should love Jesus in return, and we should love our neighbor as ourselves. That is the message of Scripture. It is all about love. Anything outside of that scope is probably not the side we ought to be on. Team Jesus is always about love, grace, and mercy, period. And so we need to know that. We need to know what Scripture says, and we need to know what that message is. And number two, we need to ask before we speak. We need to listen to the other person. We need to try to understand where he or she is coming from. Because the reality is, a lot of times, we're on the same page and we're talking past each other about the same thing. You know, we may be in complete and 100% agreement, but we just worded a bit differently. Number three, we need to make sure that we know what we're talking about. I will give you an example. How many of you have heard that 2 weeks ago at churchwide assembly that the ELCA voted to be a sanctuary denomination? Some of you have heard that. You know why? Because it made the national news. In terms of immigration, the ELCA voted to be a sanctuary denomination. What does that mean? Well, Fox News had our answer because they decided to talk about it. And let me quote to you what one of the commentators says. His name is Robert Jeffries. Well, that's right. And look, churches ought to minister to everyone regardless of their immigration status. But there's a difference between ministering to the people and assisting people in breaking the law. The church has no business doing that. And look, the Bible is very clear about this. In Romans 13, Paul says, government is established by God. To resist government is to resist God himself. The only exception to that is when government asks us to do something that violates the teaching of the Bible. And look, there is nothing about enforcing immigration laws, securing our borders, protecting our citizens that violates the word of God. That's the purpose of government according to the Bible. And if Christians don't like immigration laws, they are free to change those laws, but we are not free to break those laws. Well, Pastor Jeffries, that's an interesting statement. And he's right. Romans 13 does say that. But he's wrong because the Bible does say that we are called to welcome the strangers in our midst. However, this is the other side of that story. Because this is what the ELCA actually said. We are going to reaffirm the long-term and growing commitment of this church to migrants and refugees and the policies, questions involved, as exemplified and most comprehensive strategy accompanying migrant minors with protection, advocacy, representation, and opportunities. In other words, we're going to make sure that immigrant children are treated fairly. Sounds like something Christians would do, doesn't it? To recognize that the ELCA congregation, synods, and churchwide organizations are already taking actions requested by this memorial. In other words, this is nothing that we're not already doing. To request an appropriate staff for the people that are helping with the migrant children and with the immigration refugee service and to provide education and discernment around what this means. And then we declare ourselves to be a sanctuary body, and we request the ELCA Church Council in consultation with appropriate churchwide unit and offices to provide guidance with the three expressions of the church of what this means, sanctuary body, and provide a report, 2022 Churchwide Assembly. That's what we voted on, folks. Does that sound like we're going to be housing anybody? So what I'm saying is, when you're going to engage in a disagreement, please make sure you know what you're talking about. Make sure that you have all of the facts in place. Because lately, we'll read something on Facebook or we'll see a buzzword somewhere and we'll just run away with it, won't we? We'll cause an argument when there doesn't need to be one. We voted for a word. That's basically what we did. And we voted for something that we're already doing. Hey, we're already loving people. That's what Christians do. Great. But because of one word, now there are arguments going on in congregations all over the country. Make sure you know the truth. Because you see, we have a faith that is all about truth. And here's the truth. God loves you. God loves them. And we're called to love God, love our neighbor, and love ourselves. In just a little bit, we're going to be celebrating a baptism. And this young child is going to be baptized into this family. This family of love, this family of grace, this family of mercy. And yes, when we live out that faith, sometimes it causes division. But just make sure, brothers and sisters, that we are fighting on Team Jesus and not fighting for the sake of the world. That same world needs us now. They need our voice, and not a voice of division, but the voice of Christ, who we are called to represent with love. Be that voice. Amen.